Good evening and welcome back to Sports Talk ATL. I am Chase Earl, joined by Alex Lord. Alex, up on the site, go check it out at sportstalkatl.com. You wrote an article about the coaches that it's basically your do not hire list. I want you to take me through some of those candidates.
Yeah, I would save some of the more obvious ones first, and then I'd save the best one for last, or at least the one I feel most passionate about. The two guys first are internal candidates. And it's Ryan Nielsen and Jerry Gray. I see a lot of Falcons fans talking about how they would love if Ryan Nielsen just got hired, replaced Arthur Smith, kind of have that continuity on the defensive side of the ball. Jerry Gray also on the defensive side of the ball. Guys, this is nonsense. I love Ryan Nielsen as much as the next guy. He is a primary catalyst in the defensive turnaround. Now, obviously, personnel plays a big factor. I would argue a bigger factor than Nielsen, but the guy's a first-time coordinator. Though he succeeded in his first season, all of a sudden we're going to give this guy the keys to the kingdom. There's a big difference between being a coordinator, being a head coach. Being a head coach, you're kind of like the CEO of a company, whereas if you're just a coordinator, you don't have to delegate as much. So Nielsen and Gray, and Gray wasn't even a coordinator. So, I mean, all of this stuff, though Jerry Gray has, I mean, he has more NFL experience than I think I've been alive. So I'm not trying to say that, you know, you have to have a ton of experience. I think that both of these, Jerry Gray hasn't gotten head coaching consideration for a reason. I think Ryan Nielsen could potentially in the future, just not right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think I wrote about it in a separate article. But yeah, I think Nielsen, if he continues to trend in this direction, whether he's the defensive coordinator remaining in Atlanta or if he's somewhere else, I think maybe next year, maybe the year after that, he'll definitely start getting consideration. I mean, there's no doubt he did fantastic things for the Falcons. And honestly, whoever they bring in, it would be awesome if he was able to stick around. He was one of the few real bright spots this year. But yeah, it's nonsense talking about him as a head coaching candidate right now. Especially for a team like the Falcons, where this is a pivotal hire, guys. Like, I'm not saying they need experience, but Arthur Blank and Rich McKay really can't afford to get this one wrong. I mean, you're talking about a team that hasn't been to the postseason in 6 years, coming off, you know, 3 straight 7-10 seasons. And as we all recognize, there's now some talent on the roster and cap space to spend. They cannot afford to get this one wrong.
Yeah, the timelines don't match up, and that theme is consistent with this next guy, Brian Callahan. If you watched yesterday's show or you saw it on the YouTube, if you haven't, go check it out, Sports Talk ATL. You know how I feel about Brian Callahan. He's the Bengals offensive coordinator, except he doesn't call the plays. Zach Taylor, the head coach, calls the plays. And without Joe Burrow, they've been semi-pathetic this season, though they've had some bright moments with Jake Browning. More often than not, it's still just Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, their guys just being dudes. And a lot of the time in Cincinnati, that's all it is, even with Zach Taylor calling the plays. So I hate the idea of hiring a coordinator who doesn't call the plays, whether it's offensively or defensively. Coordinators who do not call the plays cannot be trusted. Now, if it's a special teams guy, you know, a la John Harbaugh in Baltimore, that's a whole different story. But offensive coordinator, you want his offensive mind. You want a guy who is the guy in the building.
Yeah, I don't have much to add here. We talked about that yesterday. Brian Callahan should not be a serious option here.
And this one might ruffle some feathers among our listeners or watchers, however you're ingesting us. It's Todd Monken. The guy has done nothing but succeed at every stop along the way. He's a favorite around here in Atlanta because of the work he did in Athens with Georgia, back-to-back national champions. Everybody knows the resume. Went, you know, pretty much took Stetson Bennett from a walk-on, a very forgettable quarterback, to a guy. I mean, one of the greatest quarterbacks in college football history is what he let Stetson Bennett. And now he's doing the same thing with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, the MVP candidate. He's tailored offenses to his guy. And I love the idea of him potentially being an offensive coordinator in Atlanta. I don't want to say that, but the idea that he's going to jump from, offensive coordinator in Baltimore, which is one of the most structured places in sports. I mean, Baltimore is just tip-top, world-class organization. Todd Monken doesn't have to do anything but worry about the offensive game plan week in, week out. John Harbaugh is the one who's the CEO pulling all the strings. Asking Todd Monken to take over the entire ship is a big ask. I think people aren't realizing how big of a task it is to be a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, this one is the only, not the only one. I have to hear the rest of this. I would push back a little simply just because it's intriguing. And I do think Monken, like, is the kind of guy that you want in the building to coach that quarterback. But as you said, I mean, there's no doubt there's some risk. It kind of feels like the Falcons don't want to take that kind of risk. As we just said, this is they can't really afford to get this one wrong. They either have to get an experienced guy or someone that they really have a lot of faith in if it's a first time guy. But I will say, you know, Monken's at least interesting, and there's no denying his offensive pedigree and what he's been able to do. And he's kind of almost proven to be a little bit of a quarterback whisperer. And that's definitely something the Falcons should be looking for. But I do agree with you on the fact that, you know, you're asking a lot of them and it could turn out to be a disaster. And do you want to take that kind of risk in such a pivotal hire? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, we just saw with Arthur Smith, he was an offensive guru in Tennessee, number one overall seed some years back with those Titans, came here, kind of fell on his face. So, you know, if the moment's too big for some of these guys as a head coach, they'll piss down their legs. I mean, it happens time and time again. This next guy hasn't had the success away from, you know, the nest, and so to speak, like Todd Monken has, and it's Eric Bieniemy. And this has nothing to do with anything personal, you know, because the guy is reportedly, you know, he's a brash personality, gets into arguments. This has nothing to do with that. This has everything to do with the production of Sam Howell and that Washington offense. Sam Howell threw a ton of interceptions. The Commander's offense was not balanced at all. They passed way too much. Sam Howell ended up getting benched. I mean, I don't know what people keep seeing and saying in Eric Bieniemy. And the craziest thing to me is using the Chiefs' failures, or they're not even failures, let's just say the Chiefs' underwhelming offense as a point for Eric Bieniemy, that he was the reason why Patrick Mahomes. Look at the Chiefs' offense from when Eric Bieniemy was there versus when he's left. The personnel is night and day. And Eric Bieniemy, he might be a great guy. I don't know. I don't care. I just watch football on Sundays, and the Commanders' offense was poo-poo.
Yeah, I don't think Eric Bieniemy is a seriously head coaching candidate. People have brought him up so many times on Twitter and YouTube. I haven't seen him get an interview yet. Maybe that changes. I just don't even think he's a serious head coaching candidate. I mean, he went to out from he left the nest, like you said, went to Washington, and he sucked. And I mean, like, I've watched some Commanders games, man. Like, even some of the stuff he was drawing up, it's like, bro, you have a terrible offensive line and a bad quarterback, and this is the longest developing play of all time. What the hell do you think is going to happen? He's going to get sacked, or he's going to throw a pick.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes the league is full of idiots, but sometimes the league gets it right. The reason why he's had all of these interviews, he's interviewed probably close to two dozen times, interviewed with Atlanta back in 2021 before we hired Arthur Smith. The reason why he probably hasn't gotten a head coaching gig is because, one, he sucks at interviewing, or two, he's just not a qualified head coach. Like, there's no secret. Like,
when it came out that he was a terrible interview. Like, not just from the Falcons, but from other sources as well. Like, the Falcons, from a report, I can't, you know, think of who was it from. The Falcons wanted to hire Eric Bieniemy. They wanted that to be their guy. He was just a terrible interview, and it just got crossed off the list. I'm sure a lot of teams felt that way. I mean, you're right there underneath Andy Reid's wing and stuff like that. You're like this apprentice and something like that. Well, look what you did in Kansas City. Like, everyone was hoping to get this guy as their head coach. Yeah. There's a reason they passed up on him.
Yeah, people wanted him to be, like, if you could hire the next Andy Reid, you'd have a line out the door for Eric Bieniemy. Now, going to the final one, my last one, stay away. It's the biggest name, the GOAT, Bill Belichick. I don't know where to begin. He's 72 years old. He hired Matt Patricia, a defensive coordinator, call offensive plays, the personnel decision-making. I don't know where to begin. I hate it all. In an ideal scenario, he comes in, doesn't have personnel decision-making power. That's still Terry Fontenot's job. He somehow convinces Josh McDaniels to come here, who also has a brash personality that doesn't really mesh, which would, I think, with Rich McKay and Arthur Blank. And then we get a couple of successful seasons. Bill Belichick breaks Don Shula's record. He's 75 years old, goes, it's time to hang it up. And we're doing this whole song and dance 3 years 3 years from now. I mean, I don't see the long-term vision with Bill Belichick coming to Atlanta.
I agree. Listen, Bill Belichick's not my favorite one. I will play some devil's advocate. He is the GOAT, hypothetically speaking, and I think this is going to be the case. I don't even know if he's technically, you know, hell-bent on having – I think he might recognize that the personnel decisions that he's made in New England and stuff like that have been a mess. I think and we talked about how Dan Graziano, I think, reported it, how people around the league also feel like this is a match on Belichick's end as well, which is a little bit surprising without a quarterback. But he gets to come in, have his input and say, which is not a bad thing. But he does have a guy in Terry Fontenot who's proven to be fantastic. And Kyle Smith has proven to be really good, who can recognize and scout and help him out on that end. And I think those are guys that Bill Belichick might respect. And if that's the case and it's a tag team effort, there's no denying that Bill Belichick is one of the greatest coaches in history. And he hasn't lost that, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Those Patriots defense, they're not littered with talent, but they are very good. And at the very least, it's intriguing. So listen, I'm with you. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense because you're basically giving yourself a 3-year window to win a Super Bowl. And I just can't even imagine the moves that are going to have to be made to win a Super Bowl with this current roster, even though it's in a decent shape. But it's a, like, best case, like, it's, I, like, I wouldn't hate to see it just simply because, like, I, it's like I said yesterday, it's a movie that I would like to watch.
Listen, I hate everything about it, and I don't want to argue with his, you know, football IQ, his defensive acumen. I mean, post Tom Brady era, the defense hasn't, you know, missed a beat, but let's not forget there were some defensive lapses. The reason why they lost the 2017 Super Bowl against the Eagles, does anybody remember that? Belichick's defense gave up a billion points to the Eagles. So let's not, he's not infallible. Like, he has missteps and the defense has failed at times. Now, more often than not, he's got that side of the ball, you know, under wraps. It's all locked down and key. I get all that. This guy doesn't hire outside of his circle. So the coordinators that you've seen in New England are the coordinators that you have to pick from in Atlanta. And offensively, the only one that's even semi-interesting is Josh McDaniels. And I don't really know if I love Josh McDaniels. I mean, maybe the game's passing him by too. I just think that, like, it's such a short-term answer to a long-term solution. And unfortunately, Arthur Blank probably doesn't care because I don't know how many more years he's got. He's 82 years old. He wants to win right now, tomorrow. So it's unfortunate. This is the direction we're trending, I think.
Yeah, I mean, every report that we've seen, everything has pointed to Bill Belichick being the top candidate. But I'm interested to see, and we're going to go on the other side after the break and give our head coach, because it's not all negative. There's some good guys out there. We're going to talk about them after the break. We just went through Alex's do not hire list. Now we want to talk about some of the candidates on the good side of things, guys that we would absolutely love. And I don't know if we'll be in agreement on this, Alex, but I think based on our conversations over the last week, we will be. I'm going to start off, kick off with three names, which I would consider like the big three. These would be the three that I would like above everyone else. And first, to me, my number one guy would be Jim Harbaugh. I just love that fit. I think he's going to be here for a while. I think wherever he goes in the NFL, it's probably going to be the last stop. And it's kind of like a Belichick hire, except, you know, you could get a decade or more out of him. And he's just succeeded at everywhere he's gone, whether it's been the pro side of things, the college side of things. He's worked with different quarterbacks. He adjusts well to his personnel. You know, I just think for a team that's looking for a younger quarterback to come in, it makes a lot of sense. The second guy or third guy, whichever way you want to go with this, the other two candidates, I'll just say that, Mike Vrabel and Ben Johnson of the Lions, the offensive coordinator. Ben Johnson, to me, is the sexiest, and I think this is the way most of the league feels, the sexiest candidate in terms of first-year hires. And then we saw what Mike Vrabel is able to do. He's able to squeeze the most out of all of his teams. He's competitive. He's well-respected. Everyone around the league would love to have a guy like that in the building. And I think he'd bring a different attitude to the Falcons, and I think he would do a good job.
Those three are the top three for me as well. And I'll go through each of them. Jim Harbaugh offers pretty similar attributes as Bill Belichick in terms of experience, leadership. You know, his resume speaks for itself, except for the fact that he's a quarterback guy. And that's got to entice Falcons fans who have just seen time and time again the Falcons not fail at quarterback, but Matt Ryan's just been carrying this franchise. It doesn't matter who was coaching the team. They were just lucky to have a guy like Matt Ryan. Guess what? Now we don't. We need to find the next one, or at least make the most out of the next one who might be. So I think Jim Harbaugh's got to be up there. He's up there on everybody's list. That's the thing. He's going to have his choice, his pick of the litter. And I imagine the Chargers and Commanders have got to be up there pretty high because Justin Herbert and the Commanders have the second overall pick. They're going to be able to have Drake May or Caleb Williams, whichever one falls to them. Mike Vrabel again. And this is the craziest thing for the Titans. If everybody immediately starts wanting your head coach that you just fired, you made a mistake. I mean, it's that simple. The Titans are a mediocre franchise. I'm going to put my money on Mike Vrabel coming out of this breakup on top. And then obviously Ben Johnson. I have a hot take. I left it on Twitter. Go check it out. My name is Go Sports Talk. Go, G-E-A-U-X.
You can see it the at real the bottom go, of the screen.
Right there. Hot take. This is a peak. This is the peak for the Lions right now. You know, winning the NFC North, they're hosting a playoff game. They're going to go probably – they'll probably beat the Rams is what I would think. Maybe. Let's just say they get to the divisional round. Maybe lose. Who knows? Doesn't matter. I just think that this is the peak. Ben Johnson is the reason why this team is so good. Their defense. Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator, Falcons put in a request to interview him. Their defense is below average in most metrics. Their offense is what really carries them. And Dan Campbell is a real rah-rah guy, but when Ben Johnson leaves, what is left? And I really do believe that this is the peak. He's the real prize here. So I have a pretty hot take that this is a peak. You got Green Bay, always good, been the most well-ran franchise in sports history for my entire life. They seemingly got another guy, the third, Jordan Love. So they're not going anywhere. This division isn't the Lions by any means. Who knows what the Bears are going to do? The Vikings are a pretty well-ran franchise as well. So this is by no means the Lions division. So that is a hot take I have. I have another guy for you, Shane Waldron, Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator. Resurrected Geno Smith's career pretty much, knows how to use his offensive weapons. He's very highly thought of there out west. Now, obviously, Seattle's going to think about hiring him internally, but I think they go with Dan Quinn, old friend Dan Quinn. What about Shane Waldron?
Yeah, I mean, that's a name that I haven't heard of. There's a few names out there that I haven't heard of. And obviously, I think most of them are going to be towards the offensive side, because if you go first-year head coach, I think you want to go offense, right? Like, that's what I would think. Or, less experienced head coach. Joe Brady's a guy we haven't mentioned. Now, I don't know if that's I thought he was going to get at least some looks after the way he's kind of turned around this Buffalo Bill offense. We'll see if that happens. Obviously, we know the Falcons had interest in 2021. We're LSU guys. I'm not saying that I hate it.
With them. What? I hate it. I think a lot of the same things I said about the guys I didn't like, Todd Monken. I feel like Joe Brady falls in that bucket as well. Of just like, is he really a head coach CEO material? He feels like he's just better suited as he's just a coordinator. That's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think you could say that about a lot of offensive coordinators before they became head coaches. Like, you look at Mike McDaniel, you probably weren't thinking. So I think that's even Kyle Shanahan too. Like,
I disagree with Kyle Shanahan, because it feels like Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, very organized people, crossing their T's, dotting their I's, those kind of things. And I do agree. Mike McDaniel feels like he had a sloppy interview. He's just a whiz kid. So you're probably right on that.
He's under that tree.
I'm split on Bobby Sloak. I can't really differentiate if it's mostly him or mostly CJ Stroud. That's the thing, is CJ Stroud looks like an absolute stud. Franchise quarterback through and through. Is it Bobby Slowick or is it C.J. Stroud? Probably a combination of both. Guess what? You don't have C.J. Stroud in Atlanta, guys.
Yeah, but that coaching tree is pretty impressive. Like, that's going to get a lot of people hired, whether they have good interviews or not, because especially if you have success.
It's worked out every single time now.
Yeah. So
every single time.
It's definitely going to be interesting. How about a couple guys on the defensive side of the ball we haven't talked about? It just came out, Mike McDonald, or what is that? Am I saying that right? He's going to be interviewing with the Falcons. He's the defensive coordinator for the Ravens. little intriguing. Steve Wilks also. I mean, you saw Steve Wilks have a good run as an interim head coach with a bad Panthers team. Obviously, he doesn't get the job, which is understandable. But, you know, he didn't really have an opportunity in Arizona. They gave him a year, crappy roster, and then just said, see ya. It was kind of stupid, but he's done a great job in San Francisco. If you're going to go the defensive route, like I mean, not excluding Bill Belichick, maybe. I mean, are those two guys you think would you not hate those guys? What about Raheem Morris too?
I wouldn't hate any three of those guys. I think Steve Wilks absolutely got shafted by the Cardinals. Just a terrible organization, terrible way to treat people. That's going to carry that with them. And forever, by the way. I love Mike McDonald. He's another one of those guys similar to Bobby Slowick, where I can't tell necessarily if it's scheme or personnel. The Ravens are absolutely loaded on the defensive side of the ball. Then again, every time you watch them, they look like they're playing foreign defenses. I mean, defenses you have never seen, exotic looks. It's so intriguing. And for a Falcons defense that you just saw how good they could be on those third down exotic looks, it's certainly intriguing. He's very experienced. He's not like that Joe Brady young pup, fresh face kind of guy. Same thing goes with Raheem Morris and Steve Wilks. So I wouldn't hate any three of those guys. They would certainly be underwhelming hires when we're talking about the favorites, you know, the Vrabels, the Harbaughs, the Ben Johnsons.
But everyone's going to be after those guys. Everyone's going to be after any offensive mind that impresses during interviews. They're definitely going to, rocket to the top of the list. I know a lot of people want an offensive mind. Another reason they want an offensive mind is because they still in the back of their head probably want to keep Ryan Nielsen, who did such a good job. That's something that we're going to talk after the break. The Atlanta Falcons, there's been reports, actually not even really reports, they're confirmed and everything, that they are blocking, you know, guys like Dwayne Ledford and Ryan Nielsen, who've had a lot of success in Atlanta. We're going to talk about it after the break. It has been reported that the Atlanta Falcons have blocked Dwayne Ledford and Ryan Nielsen from interviewing for the same positions for other teams. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this. I'll quickly give you mine. And I think, you know, you saw an article from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution where they just said this is kind of BS. And I have to agree. It's kind of Bush League. I mean, you don't have a coach in the building. Most likely the head coach that you hire is going to want to clear house, especially if you're targeting a guy like Bill Belichick. Like, he's not going to be keeping around Ryan Nielsen as the defensive coordinator. And then you're saying you're going to take your time during this process and you're just kind of keeping these guys in limbo. And it could screw them because these positions are going to get filled and you're either left with what's left and maybe you get hired, or maybe you're waiting till the next year to get hired as a defensive coordinator or an offensive line coach. Because there's no doubt in my mind, and there's no doubt in anybody's mind, anybody that's watched the Falcons, that Dwayne Ledford, the offensive line coach for the Falcons, and Ryan Nielsen, the defensive coordinator, are going to be highly coveted people at their respective jobs.
Yeah, and I think that you just said it, that last sentence. They're going to be highly coveted. So that means they might be highly coveted by the new head coach. And if I'm Arthur Blank, frankly, I'm 82 years old. I've done everything the right way thus far. Well, to a certain extent, not really, I guess. I wouldn't take the risk either. If my guy wanted Dwayne Ledford and it worked out, so be it. And if they didn't, so be it. I'm sorry. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. And same thing with Ryan Nielsen. I really do feel that way. It is unfortunate for those guys. And this is what I want to tell, you know, these people, that they're not going to be out of a job in 2024. I can absolutely guarantee you that if Ryan Nielsen, you know, gets strung along in Atlanta and then eventually let go, he's going to go right back to New Orleans and join Dennis Allen's staff. And Dwayne Ledford is a top 10 offensive line coach in football. There's no position with worse play than offensive line in the NFL. I promise Dwayne Ledford's going to land on his feet. So let's not feel bad for him. Is it a terrible way to kind of conduct business? Absolutely. You won't get any arguments out of me, but will I do anything differently? I don't think so, because I'm going to be selfish. I'm trying to win football games. I'm tired of being the nice guy. We're just the nice guy. Yeah, go ahead. Do what you want. No, you're not going to do what you want, because the guy I hire could potentially want you. And tough nuts, because it seems like one of these guys, I don't know if it's Nielsen or somebody else, or, you know, they're feeding information to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution who's saying, you know, this is BS. Tough. I'm sorry, because you could be in Atlanta in 2024.
Yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, I mean, I agree. It is tough. The only negative I could think of is, you know, if this does turn into something where they do miss out on a job or something, like you said, that's probably unlikely. They'll find something. They'll be doing something for somebody. They're too good at their jobs. Like, they're too good at their jobs. And trust me, teams around the league are probably looking like, okay, they're blocked now, but wait till they hire a head coach. We'll wait until we interview Ryan Nielsen. They probably won't jump the gun unless they absolutely love someone else. So I agree with you there. And listen, I can't disagree with being the nice guy, because you know me, I'm trying to win as bad as anybody. I'm tired of losing. If anybody's been screwed, it's us Falcons fans. So if we deserve anything nice, whether that's Ryan Nielsen to stay with Atlanta or Dwayne Ledford or both of them, then we deserve it. And listen, it's not me they're going to be pissed at. It's not me they're going to be pissed at.
One more thing. Last year when the Falcons were hiring defensive coordinators, DMPs retires, before they hired Ryan Nielsen, they were submitting requests to interview current defensive coordinators or people who would potentially rise to defensive coordinators. I'm going to butcher his name. I'm so sorry. Iro Evavero. He's the current Panthers defensive coordinator. Currently, he was the Broncos defensive coordinator. The Falcons submitted a request. They submitted a request to interview him as a head coach this year, but last year they submitted a request to interview him as a defensive coordinator. The Broncos blocked him. Guess where he was? He just led another top 10 unit Panthers defense in 2023. So guys, these guys are going to land on their feet. If they're good at their job, you have nothing to worry about. Don't let them pull on the heartstrings. AJC. It's a ruthless business. I don't care. You could do things the right way, but sometimes it's, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure everyone's going to be very happy if, you know, the next guy comes in, keeps Ryan Nielsen. Yep. And so we'll probably be like, you know what? They made the right decision. So yes, people are going to say it's BS now, but it'll be the right decision if he's in Atlanta next year. And you can say the exact same thing about Dwayne Leppard. Coming up after the break, we're going to switch gears. Braves news, AJ Minter and Max Fried. The deadline to agree to arbitration deals with arbitration-eligible players was yesterday. The Braves had two of them after making a bunch of trades, like Kyle Wright and all those guys. They're now out of the building. Michael Soroka, I think those guys. They only had two of them. Two big ones, though, Max Fried and AJ Minter, and they actually got both the deals done. I was pretty surprised. I thought at least one of them would be going to arbitration. Max Fried has gone to arbitration the last 2 years. He settles for a one-year $15 million deal. AJ Minter is 1 year $6.22 million. So right about where they were projected. And either way, I don't read into too much of this. You know, sometimes they go to arbitration and people are like, oh, dude, there's animosity between the two ties. Why would you pinch pennies? Well, that's not how it works. You file. And if the filings do not meet up, you don't know what the other side filed. If the filings do not meet up, you go to court. It's really that simple. Like, people act like they were sitting down with Max Fried and just like discussing a contract. Well, most of the time, that's not how it is. But it is good that these things get done. It very positive. Is it a sign for something more? I don't know. Maybe they are having discussions with these guys. But my hope between now and the offseason, or now and the start of the season, is that one of these guys gets signed to a contract extension.
If it doesn't happen before the season, I wouldn't say that, because I think that there's a possibility that AJ Minter could agree to an in-season deal. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities. He feels like a guy who just wants to be in Atlanta. He fits in real well here. He's cut his teeth here. This organization has stuck with him, especially Snicker. He's had his fair share of struggles, and the Braves kept throwing him out there. He took a stint in AAA, came back, hasn't looked back. So I think that AJ Minter is of the, you know, cut from the cloth that a lot of Braves extensions have been. Max Fried, on the other hand, if the season starts without Max Fried agreeing to a deal, I do believe I'm going to wet blanket this, and I hate to be that guy because I do like to be the optimistic guy. He's as good as gone, because once he hits the free agent market, people are going to start throwing out numbers. The Braves are just going to be like, you guys are overpaying. And as you like to say, and I think it's a great saying, Alex Anthopoulos never pays sticker price.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't even really want to talk too much about Max Fried. It's probably not going to happen. So we'll have these conversations plenty of times. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if he gets to free agency, it's just going to get too ridiculous. And, you know, he doesn't really have ties to Atlanta. AJ Minter could be a scenario where they're kind of like, maybe the Braves want to see him prove it one more year, because I'm sure he's trying to demand top setup reliever market, maybe like a 5-year, $50 million deal, 5-year, $45 million deal, which is, you know, top of the market for, you know, high setup men relievers, which is what he has been over the last couple of seasons. But they might want to see him do it with a little pressure under the contract year. And then, you know, if he's having a good season, they might say, all right, here's your 5 for $50 or whatever. So I definitely think it's very possible. I'll tell you who's going to take a huge hit if AJ Minter does walk is the Buckhead bar scene. or the battery.
I see that. Scene. It's not even, it's all of Metro Atlanta. We live in Roswell.
I've seen him live after five.
I've seen him in downtown Roswell all the time. I've seen him in Buckhead. Yeah,
that's the battery that's after be the game. The bar scene around Atlanta is going to take a massive hit.
Nobody loves AJ Minter more than the Atlanta bar scene. You're absolutely right.
But I also love that he's just one of the guys. Like, you just see him out after a game.
Relief pitchers aren't real baseball players. I mean, they throw like once every other day. And
he's well damn hard though, you know.
Yeah, you're true. you're absolutely. And he wears a cowboy hat. Love the guy.
Coming up after the break, Bleacher Report ranks the top 10 off seasons. Who's had the best one? The Braves came in pretty high on the list. Bleacher Report ranked the 10 teams that have had the best offseason so far. And coming in at number two is your Atlanta Braves, right behind the Dodgers. I mean, I don't think there's any arguing Dodgers are number one on this list. They've spent $1 billion. They're continuing to make moves. I mean, congrats to them, but this is kind of what the Dodgers do. And as I've said many times, they set up for this. You know, they reset their luxury tax payroll to make these kind of moves. They were always coming, whether they got Shohei Ohtani or not. They were going to make massive additions. And you've seen that with Glasnow and Yoshinobu Yamamoto and all those guys. So obviously they've had the top one, but I think the Braves at number two, they're kind of like a sneaky number two. Now there hasn't been a ton of action outside the Dodgers. It feels like they're the only team with a pulse, but the Braves have swung a lot of trades. And I've said many a times over the last couple of weeks that they've been, a lot of these moves have been brilliant, man. Like, they basically filled all of their holes while keeping their salary cap clean for 2025 and stuff like that. Their payroll is down well below the luxury tax. They'll have like $70 million even to spend even before they get to the luxury tax. They filled their holes in everywhere, and they didn't give up any top prospects. So to me, it's a lot of wheeling and dealing didn't make a lot of sense to people, but it's been brilliant.
Yeah, I think that any idiot with a fat checkbook can go out there and write $700 million, $300 million, give Tyler Glasnow $140 or $50, whatever he got. So I think that, you know, in some ways it's more impressive that the Braves, you know, had this kind of offseason without, like you said, you know, allocating so much funds to the future. And the fact of the matter is their moves weren't just to solidify holes this year. Chris Sale's under contract for multiple years. Jared Kelenic is under contract for like 4 or 5 years. So, and the relievers that we signed are under contract for 3 years. So, you know, I think a lot of this, you know, just goes to show that not only were they minimizing the risk, which a lot of people seemingly think they didn't do, I'm telling you they did do, they did it well without spending a fortune or giving all of their top prospects away. Yes, Vaughn Grissom was expendable once Jared Kelenic came to town. I hate to be that guy. I said it months ago. I was like, Vaughn Grissom's got to be good as God because he needs everyday at-bats, and he's not going to get them with Jared Kelenic.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all like Vaughn Grissom. I hope he has a time for success in Boston. But the reality of the situation is he wasn't going to play in Atlanta, and it wasn't going to happen next year either. Like, there was no, like this lineup with Kelenic in it is locked up. Like, The entire freaking team is locked up.
And he can't play shortstop, guys. That's just the fact of the matter.
I don't even know. I mean, defense in general. I mean, it was shortstop, but like, I don't know. He's going to be an elite second baseman either. So yeah, the entire infield's locked up. There's no place for him to be. And there was no guarantee that he was even going to be able to play left field. So I thought Alex Anthopoulos was brilliant. He set this team up in a perfect opportunity to win a World Series in 2024. And in 2025, they have I know guys are going to become free agents. Charlie Morton might retire. There's going to be a lot more holes to fill, but they have gobs of cash to spend. I mean, a ton of money to spend if they want to get a Max Fried. If they don't like Fried, they want to pivot somewhere else where they think it's a better deal. Very possible, but they have money to fill in the holes. and all their prospects.
I was just about to say, guys, the prospects are still there. So happened, you know, Alex Anthopoulos, a deal comes across his desk. He cannot refuse. Bye-bye, AJ Smith, Shaver, and Hurston Waldrop. It doesn't matter. Corbin Burns comes. Yeah, he's coming. Obviously, he's going to be hitting free agency. I'm just saying, a guy like that, Alex Anthopoulos isn't going to say no.
Coming up after the break, how long will Kirby Smart coach the Georgia Bulldogs?
The GOAT is officially retired. Nick Saban announced that he was retiring from the head, being the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. What a surreal day. It comes 12 hours basically before Bill Belichick and the Patriots announced that they are also parting ways. The two GOATs, I think the undisputed two GOATs of football. You know, there's a couple of other, Bill Walsh, Don Shula in the NFL, but in terms of college football, I think it really is just Saban. It's just Saban, maybe Bear Bryant. There's a couple others I'm forgetting. But, you know, for right now, for all intents and purposes, our two GOATs, I mean, it's who we grew up watching. They've absolutely dominated the football landscapes, their respective deals. And it's cool to kind of reflect back. But I kind of went a different way because I'm a psycho. I'm a weirdo. I like controversy. I like arguing just because I'm a contrarian. That's what I am. And what I have to say is I looked between the lines at Nick Saban's statement, his comments about why he's leaving. And I think that he is speaking to the world and that our college football world today is different than it's ever been. Something needs to change. He's obviously spoken to the fact that he wants to be at this. He wants to spearhead the change and kind of corral the transfer portal, NIL, all that stuff. What I got from it was Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs better count their lucky stars while he's still there. Because I do think, Georgia fans, I think Kirby Smart is not on his way out. I want to preface this by saying y'all are probably going to win 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6 more national championships. Y'all's dynasty is just beginning. But with that being said, it's not going to be 17 years like it was for Nick Saban and the Alabama faithful. It's not even going to be close because the college football world today for head coach is such a grueling task. It's 365 days a year, 24/7. You're not only constantly recruiting, but you're also just making sure that they're happy because of the portal, and the NIL just complicates that aspect of it. It's an absolutely grueling job, and Nick Saban, the GOAT, said it himself. I get it. He's 72. Kirby Smart's a much younger man, but Kirby Smart got into the game, meaning he was Georgia's head coach at a much younger age than Nick Saban was at Bama. So I think family is the main factor in all of this, is what I'm saying. Because Kirby Smart has said it before that, you know, this job takes a toll on him, but it takes a toll on his family. He's a family man through and through. I think that, you know, it's not going to be even close to 17 years for Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs. And the reason why he steps away is because of family. It's not because of a better job in college football. I'll tell you that right now. Georgia's his last stop, at least on the college football level. I know you feel a little bit different about another level, Chase.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he's going to dip his toes in the NFL pool at some point. It just makes too much sense. I do think you get bored, just dominate, and maybe you don't, but and like you said, it's a grind. So maybe the days just passed and you don't even realize what's happening. But I do think, you know, maybe there could be a break at some point. Maybe you win your 5th or 6th national title. Maybe you win 7. Maybe you try to topple or 8 and try to top Saban, whatever he wants to do. But to me, I just think, you know, coaches at every point want to conquer something new. And I don't think he wants to go to a different college team. You know, this is an alma mater. Like you said, I don't think there's any other jobs that would even pique his interest. He's never going to go to another college team. And so I think, you know, what's the next step? If you want to do something different and take on a new challenge. I mean, these guys are competitors. These guys want to prove that they can win at every level. And someday someone's going to offer him. Maybe it's Jerry Jones in 5 or 10 years. Maybe it's Jerry Jones next year. And he says, hey, you want $30 million? And you're like, you know what? What else do I really have to prove here? And even if you do, you can always come back. Yeah, I'm for sure Georgia will welcome you with open arms, unless the guy comes in like Les Miles, unfortunately, and wins like a national championship. Georgia will be like, all right, see you, buddy. Like, you didn't get a daddy in 2 years. See it. So
it's not even the money, though. The NFL head coaching gig is a much less strenuous job than it is at college. So he'll spend more time with his family, his kids, his wife. So it is an important attribute. But my thing, he's going to step away sooner than Georgian fans think. It's not going to be in 5 years, but it's going to be less than, say, 10. I mark my words.
Yeah. Well, I think he's great for the sport, just like I thought Nick Saban was.
Don't
great
want
for
him to sport. Go. Don't want him to
it's
go.
It's always good to have a villain. It's always good to have a guy that's at the top of the mountain that you're trying to conquer. And that's what Kirby Smart in Georgia is right now. That wraps up our show for this evening. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will be with you after the weekend.